Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good evening and welcome to a special episode of whatever you're listening to, The Secret Cabinet, The History of Alchemy, The History of Germany, Bohemican, because we have the original content creator and mastermind behind the show of The Secret Cabinet, the Der Buddler, as his nom de guerre is known as. And he's the original host of Das Geheime Kabinett, the German version of The Secret Cabinet, and also the podcast where I first discovered him or found him, which is Angegraben, which is a German archaeological podcast, of which I'm the number one fan. I need to say that first. I'm the number one fan of both of those shows. And yeah, so welcome. Welcome to whatever show that my listeners are listening to.
Hello from me too. Hi to everyone who's listening to the show, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello from Germany. This is the Buddler, which translates something like the digger in English. And yes, as you said, I'm the German podcaster, which is the second half of The Secret Cabinet, which is greatly translated by Travis. Thank you very much on this point too.
Of course, yeah, it's great to have you on the show. I hope that, because it's strange, on the history of Germany, we did an interview in German, but when I translated it for English, that was the Sky Disc of Nebra and Martin Luther's 95 Theses. When I translated it to English, I was saying your part. So, right? So I've mentioned you many times, like, oh yeah, I went to Wittenberg, I talked to Der Buddler, and we talked about the Sky Disc of Nebra, but then, of course, I translated you. So this is the first time that, for history of Germany, they will ever hear your voice, and so that's great. And yeah, welcome again. It's great to have you on the show. So another way to introduce you, for my listeners that have heard The Secret Cabinet, which is a great podcast about kind of the naughty bits of history, the more not vulgar. I mean, it's not presented. It's presented with class, right? But I made a little
video.
I hope
so. Oh, of course. I tried to.
It's got a lot of class. That's a classy show.
it is.
But I on the video, I said it. I think I said it correctly. It was the probably deviant, clearly deranged, and possibly dangerous mind of Der Buddler. I think that's a good way
yes,
to put the...
Yes, I recognized me in this definition.
Yeah. So, the topics are fantastic. I think it's just some of the most interesting topics, you know, to talk about are in The Secret Cabinet. And as soon as we start, if we list the episodes, it sounds really bad really fast. So just go to The Secret Cabinet and look. For instance, the next episode I'm translating is on dildos, the history of dildos. So, yeah, that's a good example of, you know, what kind of history
like,
it is.
Yeah. It's the bits of history which normally are forgotten by historians because they don't think that's something for the public. The name Secret Cabinets derives from the habit of putting things away in the museums because they didn't think them suitable for the ladies the gentlemen of the time. So you find that sometimes. The Naples, for instance, there's a famous secret cabinet there, or even the British Museum has a secret cabinet, and lots of museums too, I think, with little things like dildos and more or less pornographic depictions of scenes from the antique and so on. So I thought, well, that's an interesting topic that's not dealt with before. So let's try and have a lot of fun, and have a lot of fun podcasting, that I can tell you.
Yeah, and you know, that also is kind of an interesting point is I found your show, Angegraben, because there aren't that many German history podcasts, really. So, you know, I was kind of curious because my first podcast was a history podcast. It was the history of Rome and then, you know, stuff you missed in history class. So what was the first podcast that you found or that you listened to?
Well, I have a very short history of history of podcasts, because I started only 3 years ago with listening to podcasts, actually.
Yeah, I think me too. It's not, three or four, 3.5 years maximum. It's kind
really?
Of the same.
Yeah. So, and I found out that so little podcasts about history around in Germany. Mm-hmm. That's even worse than it's in America. There's a lot, I think it's a broad spectrum of history podcasts in the US or in Britain, but there are not many podcasts in Germany around. Well, podcasting scene in Germany is very small, actually, with a very small crowd of audience, so to say. But still, it's very interesting and very dense, and it's very friendly. Probably is in the US too, but still developing. And that's why there weren't any archaeology podcasts around. So I said, "Oh well, if they don't exist, you have to do them."
That's right.
To create one, and I did. And I was overwhelmed by the feedback I got about that. People were listening to me and say, "Oh well, this sound quality is just disgusting. Here, have a microphone."
Yeah, right.
Or someone said, "Oh, your website could look better. I will design you something."
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
It's so great. It happens all the time. People sending me books or money through different kinds of Flutter or Patreon or something like that. And it's just amazing. I think you experienced something like that as well.
Because we started two shows at the same time, but it was very, you know, niche shows. Like one was about Czech history, which, you know, it's not the biggest country. Not that many people, you know about Czech history. And then about the history of alchemy and, you know, what is alchemy? And, you know, is it a history show or is it about, you know, New Age alchemy or, you know? Yeah, I think as soon as we could fill, I remember the day when we looked at our stats and we uploaded an episode and we got 30 downloads. And me and my co-host, Pete Coleman, were like, "Oh, 30 people, we can fill a classroom." You know, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And that's amazing, isn't it?
We just didn't even expect, you know. And again, it happened again when I did the German version of History of Germany, Geschichte der Deutschen. And my German audience were giving me very friendly reviews on iTunes and this kind of thing. And I was surprised again. You know, why did Germans want to hear an American with an accent tell them their own history? You know, but
I think Germans like strange podcasts anyway. But you're filling a niche, by the way.
Maybe it's a comedy. Yeah. Maybe in German, it's a comedy. People are laughing at my accent, and the appeal is that I sound funny. And maybe, you know, but hey, maybe that's perfect. You know, hey, whatever gets downloads, right?
Yeah. Now it's the time to confess. Yeah, it's a drinking game. Every time you speak, you make mistakes. They have to drink something. No, just joking.
If I make the wrong case or the wrong article, he's like, okay, drink. Oh man, that would be a horrible drinking game. You would be so drunk by the end.
No, being honest, it's a very great show, and I really enjoy it, and many others do as well, because there isn't a German history podcast around which is following the epochs through the time and telling people what they missed in history classes.
Exactly. It was kind of surprising to me that no one just at least did a history podcast about their own culture or some aspect. I don't know, you know, something. But no, there really aren't that many. I mean, when I looked, I think you were the only one I found at the time. And it's still not so many. So,
Yeah, it's true. There was a golden age a couple of years ago when the first history podcast, mm-hmm. or first podcast that came into life in Germany, I think it was about 2005 or so, when there was a huge hype, mm-hmm. and lots of podcasts started. Every museum tried to do something with their own lectures and so on. And then suddenly that stopped. And only now, I think it's developing again.
It's
and,
like a new wave or new generation of people are finding it.
Yeah, because it gets easier on the technical mm-hmm. terms that you can just sit down with a laptop and speakers and the microphone just go on and don't have to think about much about technology and so. So uh-huh. it's very easy, even for me who is a technical not compatible
with technically challenged. Maybe
technically challenged, yeah, that's the right expression I was looking
for. Yeah, no, I think yeah, my first microphone was like $6, and before then I just used whatever headset I had, you know, and then we bought a microphone for $6 and, you know, paid something for hosting and that was it and started a show. So yeah. It is really easy. Yeah.
It is actually, yeah, and people are so friendly. When I started, I told it already that people went on sending me,
just encouraging.
Yeah, yes,
like I heard, for instance, that for Das Geheime Kabinett, which is the original version of the Secret Cabinet, that someone just randomly one day sent you an English version and. Of like a translated version of Das Geheime Kabinett in English.
Yes, that happened. I forgot who was this guy again.
Is that true?
Oh, no, it was you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was amazing. I was just overwhelmed when you did that. And you said, oh, well, I tried something. I'll try to...
Yeah, exactly.
Develop my
practice my German translating or interpreting, you know, and yeah, I was trying to imagine like what, you know, what must you be thinking if you just get a show, because from my perspective, it's clear. I have one podcast in two languages. And so it's for me to save time. I need to, you know, the better I am at translating, the faster I go. So I was trying to practice and I sat down and I was about to translate some random documentary from German, like, you know, something from German TV about the history of Germany. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. No, there's I know a much better audio that I can translate, you know, Das Geheime Kabinett. So I sat down and I translated it. And even then I wasn't thinking about giving it to you. It was just homework. It was practice. And then I edited it and cut it. And then I listened to it. And I thought it was kind of funny because I noticed some like strange German ways of saying things, you know, because I'm so concentrated on what I'm saying that I, you know, it's just there's some Germanisms in there. But it sounded pretty good. And I thought, well, hey, it's, you know,
it does,
it's practice.
It really does.
Yeah. If he wants it, I wonder what he'll do. You know, it's like, I don't want to host it, but hey. And, yeah, you're like, whoa, this is great. Yeah, so
it
then
is,
I
it is. It
I
really
think
is.
In the beginning,
did a great job.
Yeah, I was glad. I was happy. I was just happy you liked it. And I was thinking, I thought, okay, well, this is actually not difficult. It's not time consuming, you know, because the Secret Cabinet, they're, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. So they're not very long. Some are 7 minutes, maybe. And it's really quick to translate and then just edit. So I was like, oh yeah, okay. So I think at the beginning I promised you 5 episodes or something, like if you want to host them I will give you 5 episodes or something like that. But
yes, and
now it's already
Reedy SMM took you by the word, and now you're translating the 10th episode already.
Yeah.
And which
man.
Is on air quite soon.
Yeah, Ed Gein.
That
was interesting. So this is something I didn't think about, but you have episodes on Ed Gein, on Emperor Norton, who's actually a local. He's, you know, less than 30 miles away from me, and some American topics where I was like, oh, this will sound really funny if I translate it from German, from English that you translated to German, or somebody did, and then you know, and then back to English, like, ooh, that sheriff is not going to sound the same. I better go look up what he said, you know.
And I had to look into English sources. So
okay,
translation from English to German to English.
So back to English. So like, that's really dangerous. So So there, I was like, I better check. Yeah, but that's great. So it's actually a lot of fun. So yeah, now the next one is episode 11. So it's clearly working. So the German version is 36 episodes, something. Something like that. So I still have a ways to catch up for yes, translating. But that's a clue, by the way. If English listeners want to see what is coming up next, they can just go look at the German version, Das Geheime Kabinett, and they will know the next 20 episodes of what will happen in the secret cabinet. So there you go.
More or less. There could be surprising episodes before that.
Could be surprises. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note some of the differences between, like you said, like the English and German landscape. I think in the English landscape, because we have like the History Podcasters Network, where it's, I don't know, 45 history podcasters all doing things together and, you know, collaborating. And in Germany, that kind of thing doesn't exist. Or, like, advertisement. Some podcasters must have advertisement or something, right?
Not many, not yet.
Yeah. And no history podcasts, probably.
No history podcasts, because there aren't any, not that much.
It's like you and me.
Podcasts, yeah, more or less. Well, a little bit more than that.
Yeah, but I know.
It's still a niche, to say. True. But there is quite a different landscape, a podcast landscape in Germany. For instance, there is not many advertising around yet, because not because there isn't interest from the side of the podcaster, but there's no interest from the side of the advertisers yet, because it's so the small niche yet in Germany, which is much larger. For instance, the famous serial podcast
had
millions of downloads. You couldn't reach us with a single German podcast yet.
That was amazing. But that was also a sign that things are changing. So I think it will be interesting. Because for advertisers, you just need enough downloads. You know, you say, okay, hey, look, I have this many downloads, I have this big of an audience. So, and in English, there's some, like, through the History Podcasters Network, there was some deals with advertisers where we split the money and five podcasts would do some advertisement, and then it made sense. So, but there, because we had a network, so it's kind of different.
And the other thing is, there are many podcasts around which were made by professionals from the radios.
Yes.
We have a larger amount of government-driven radio broadcasters, and they put the content into podcasts for download after the show. So there's a lot of concurrence, so to say.
Like competition, like there's so there's yeah, like that's yeah the good, big yeah. the big corporate podcasts take up the front page, or let's say, you know, like the rankings, and independents are much harder. They're kind of towards the back. Like my podcast in English, I think you definitely have to know, someone has to tell you, hey, there's an alchemy podcast, so that someone will go search for History of Alchemy, because otherwise you would never find it. There's so many. So
It's well, the field is small in Germany too.
Yeah, it's different. Like I was at Angegraben, was in the, you were on the front page on the iTunes podcast charts, you know, at some point.
Angegraben, you see, it's so bad a situation.
That's how bad it is. Well, hey, whatever works. Yeah. Hey, top 10 is top 10. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, I can't complain. Das Geheime Kabinett was on the top 10 of iTunes downloads in 2014.
It was
So it's of the newcomers.
So that's great already.
Must have done something right, probably.
Yeah, and then like the other thing I noticed is that's different is in English, it's advertisements, and some people, oh yeah, some people actually sell merchandise like T-shirts and coffee cups. How do you feel about a Das Geheime Kabinett coffee mug or T-shirt or something?
I thought about that, but that
could happen in Germany. Yeah. But I don't think that's happening yet, or I don't know of any podcast. Like, does Hoaxilla have merchandise?
They tried to, yes. I think good. they tried to create a T-shirt or so.
I
don't think the market is so big that it would be a bit too interesting. But the new thing, the new hot thing is writing books on podcasts.
Yep.
Which is interestingly going very well. Hoaxilla is producing one book after the other. Other podcasts like... the Viva Britannia podcast, mm-hmm. a podcast on German view on the Great Britain.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I'm doing soon another book with a friend of mine on Bosnian pyramids, which is more or less a combination between archaeology and conspiracy theories.
Right.
And so yeah, well, that's most promising at the moment. Yeah,
see, that's interesting, and I think that is great because because you have a podcast, it doesn't matter where it is. If you have enough listeners, you could support, you know, even self-publishing some book or trying to sell some creative project, which is that's really great. And the other thing is that in like you have, and I installed it on my websites now, is Flattr, which no one or not that many people here in America know of.
Yeah,
maybe more of them in the UK, but I don't. It's a European thing,
It is. It is. Yeah. It's a Swedish company, and it allows you to put an amount of money per month to podcasts, but to other artists as well. And every time you hear or see something which you did like, you could press the Flattr button, and percentage of this amount goes directly to the producer. Yep. So it's quite a nice thing. It's very easy to do.
Simplest thing, because you can pick exactly what you want to, you can Flattr specific posts or something, even tweets, I think, or something.
Tweets, episodes, if you did like the third episode more than the fourth, then you could show that by giving money that's very nice, and it's very direct because you see whether the people liked this show or the other more than something else, and it's very nice and very direct, and
it's not like we're talking about a lot of money. It can be like 50 cents or a month or something, it's just
for a single
per click
single click, but at least I could pay my production costs quite easily with the money, and sometimes it even leaves some some amount of money for buying another book for the next show or so.
I was gonna say at least if you can buy a beer once in a while, then it's all worth it, my listeners paid for this beer, that beer always tastes 10 times better.
that happened in the past.
There you go.
There was one listener who just thought, oh yeah, this Flattr money should go into the next beer.
There you go. Yep. I want to buy you a beer.
It's true.
It's not so common here. There's similar things, like there's Patreon, which I don't have installed. And I think I have a PayPal hidden, but with PayPal, there's, especially internationally, there's fees. Locally, like if it was from an American to me, it would be free. But it's not, I think Flattr's just, and you can pass it on. So, I'm a podcaster, but I'm also a fan. So I can, someone might give me a Flattr and I'll say, oh, well, I will Flattr my favorite podcaster. So it just kind of it keeps going. So it is kind of interesting.
Distributes the money quite well. Yep. It's quite nice. So everyone who does a very good show, will get support from that. It's very nice.
Oh, I know why it's not popular in America, because it's too communist. Now I understand. Oh,
that might be the reason.
It's too egalitarian. It's,
oh, yeah. Really? That's good. Be.
Wait, yeah. Should I? I don't, maybe I yeah. should edit that out. I don't know. But no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I think this should be obvious.
Yep. It is interesting that I mean, now, because now you are, you know, Mitglied, a member of the History Podcasters Network, because of you are actually collaborating on the, there's a collage show we always do, and the next one is End of an Era. And so Secret Cabinet will also be there, which means you're a member whether you like it or not, basically.
Actually, so, I do like it.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's very nice, yeah.
Yeah. So and there's some really interesting, I mean, I have to say, so in German, I noticed that you are very active on Twitter, and there are some hilarious conversations that, you know, you have between other, just the community on Twitter, I would say. And in English, there's a lot of that on Facebook, which I don't know, you know, there must be this or that Facebook site that's popular, but just the history podcasts Facebook group, there's hundreds of people there. So there's like 50 podcasters and another, you know, let's say 400 listeners, which is a great.
Oh, so many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a big group. So it's a great. If you have new ideas for a show, you can tell it to them and you can get instant feedback. So there were some podcasters that were just thinking about doing a show in the future and saying, hey, what would you think about, you know, Benjamin Franklin or, you know, some whatever. And, you know, listeners are like, hey, you forgot there's already three shows like that. Or, hey, that would be great. You know, when I started, I did not know about any of those things. Someone actually had to tell me, hey, you know, they're talking about you on Facebook. Go, you know, click on this link and go there. And sure enough, someone was talking about Bohemican or History of Alchemy. And I was like, oh, hey, who are you guys? This is great, you know.
But yeah, I think something like that is missing a little bit. It's more happening on social media or so.
Yeah.
But it's very nice. There are podcaster meetings quite often now in Germany. Podcaster
That's
producers
right.
and
there
listeners.
There was a convention, right?
You went not a single one, many of them.
Yeah, but you were at a, it was like SkepCon, right?
Well, it happened on a Skeptic conference, which was one of the side events for some podcaster meeting.
Okay.
But there are lots of podcaster meetings now in different areas of Germany, Berlin or Hamburg or Frankfurt, Munich. It's very, very, very popular right now.
That's great,
Quite nice for networking,
It exists here, but they're also far away. I know there's some close. I have to keep my eyes open in California. But otherwise, you know, there might be something in Denver or something on the East Coast. And that's a long ways away.
It is, It's faster to go anywhere in Germany.
But they do exist here, Germany, get on the Autobahn and you're from one end to the other in maximum 8 or 10 hours, something like this.
Yeah, if you're lucky, if you don't have any traffic jams.
Exactly. If you're lucky.
You could do that.
But in 8 hours, I'm in the next state. I'm in either Nevada or Oregon, so not very far.
I know. I was 2 years ago, so I was in the Midwest, and I thought, oh, it's very nice. I just drive somewhere else, and I thought, well, when will it happen to be there? Takes ages. Yeah, it's a very big country.
It's almost more like sailing. You can go in the Midwest, you can go by compass and follow the sun or follow the moon.
Really,
I mean, it's all flat. It's still cornfields. Oh, that's fantastic.
But it's very nice driving in the U.S. Very quiet and not many crazy drivers like you do
that's
have
right.
in
it's very calm and constant is, speed and it's almost like meditation, you know. You have to it can get boring unless you have the right, like, okay, it's 8 hours of desert, but that's great. I'll listen to some history podcasts and it'll
that's
be fun.
true. I just wanted to mention that.
There you go.
Ideal for podcasting and for podcast listening.
That reason alone could explain why there's so many American listeners, just people driving in cars every day commuting or something. So it is more than, although in Prague I always listen to something on the metro, the U-Bahn, subway, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same. Yeah.
That's why this Geheime Kabinett is so short, because it's just the ideal amount of time for getting to the tap or to the bus or so.
Yep. It's a 10 minute subway ride or something. So.
Right.
A friend
of mine, the Explicator podcast, does something like this as well, but does it every day, which is amazing.
Different
mixed history and film, or even does a small audio plays every Friday, uh-huh. which is just hilarious. So, yeah.
That is, yeah, a daily podcast. That is respect. Like, that is, wow, is, that must be so much
He has a day
work.
Job as well, so it's just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
yep.
what he does.
Man, yeah. That's incredible. Let's see. I mean, I know, so if we talk about the future of podcasting, I guess, or where at least where our shows are going, I know that I definitely want you on the show again for History of Germany when it comes to, I'm sure I'll find some interesting article. Oh, I even found, you know, there's, because there is those alchemical labs now and then, I might have the famous host from Angegraben speak about some alchemical labs for History of Alchemy, something.
Yes, I would that, like that too.
That would be great. Yeah.
Even though, there are so many new discoveries in Germany right now, even in the city I'm living in Wittenberg, there's just every day is just changing history. A little bit exaggerating, but still, yeah, it's amazing what just recently discovered there.
So I went back and I listened to my episode on Faust on the history of alchemy. Have you heard that? Have you heard that episode?
Yes, of course.
it's like one long advertisement for you.
Oh, yeah,
because because I was like, oh, so I went to Wittenberg, and by the way, I, you know, history of Germany, blah blah blah, and he, you know, I met this guy and he works here, and and he told me about this, and I had to wait, but now National Geographic, man, it was like one shameless plug for you and your your shows, but
yeah,
it was a great episode.
So
that was a great episode.
But so many things changed now. We have many new results from tests from the laboratories which were testing the ingredients of the vessels, and so it's just amazing what's coming up.
It's so interesting
And there are two more finds of laboratories in Saxony-Anhalt, by the way, which I have to tell you someday.
Yep.
Just a little teaser for the next Alchemy of Podcast.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really interesting, too, that they found an alchemy lab in Prague, and now it was, you know, a couple years ago or some years ago.
But
it is really interesting that I think nowadays maybe they just know what they're looking for more, or you know,
that's true. Yeah,
more of an interest. I don't know, but they're popping up now. You know, which for me is I love this. This is fantastic.
There will be a huge exhibition next year here in Halle in Saxony-Anhalt on their alchemy, on new alchemy, alchemistic finds.
So I have to go to Halle.
Alchemy.
Year. I have to go to Wittenberg in 2017 because it's the,
of course,
you know, 500 year Martin Luther. Yeah. So that is the day where he nailed the thesis on, supposedly, allegedly.
If he did.
That's right. Yeah.
But as I already told you, there's some surprises coming up next year.
Well,
2017 then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's I'm looking forward to that. Oh yeah. Because wait, is this related to you going off to the Vatican secret archives?
Actually, not. No, something a researcher told me just recently. Said, you could be interested in this, and about this.
So this is the thing, because you're anonymous or you're semi-anonymous. I don't even know exactly what your status is, but you know, you go by Der Buddler, and that's not your real name. But if people actually know what you do as a day job, like that is, for a history podcast perspective, that is super cool. So, you know, in Halle where you worked and where you work now, and I was sending you some email and you're like, oh, I've been so busy this week, I'm in the Vatican secret archives. I'm like, oh, damn it. You know, and your Twitter profile picture is Indiana Jones, right? Like the Lego minifigure of Indiana Jones.
Yes, yes,
and yeah. I'm like, hopefully. That is so perfect. Like, that is, you know, his archaeology podcast, and he's in the Vatican archives. Are you kidding me? Like, how awesome is this guy? You know. So yeah,
well, I was very really lucky before to I get
yeah.
There.
That's great.
Since we're
Before I met you, I half expected you to have the Indiana Jones hat and the whip, you know, the leather jacket, and then I met you, and I was like, oh, he's just a regular guy. Okay, you know.
I have some hat like this on my cupboard.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
But the whip is only for private.
So that was also in the in the Hoaxilla, or the video that I made of the Winchester House for Hoaxilla, which no one in English knows about because I did it in German. I will make an English version, but there I was also talking about Der Buddler, and there's Indiana Jones anonymous with the whipping hat, and that's you, man, you know, hanging out in the secret archives. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's very adventurous, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's probably a lot of hard work, and yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's more mundane than you would expect.
Yeah, sure.
But just an archive, as many others. But still, it's amazing to get there in there, for instance. Mm-hmm. And
well, it's also very sanitary. I mean, I'm sure it's not like the Dan Brown movie. What was it? Angels and Demons, but they do take precautions on, you know, being sanitary so you don't damage anything or...
Yes, of course. Yeah, you aren't allowed to take any felt tips or things like that with you, just pencils. And there's only three documents you would get every day for any day. Right.
There's a limit.
But it could get into the magazines, but we got a special tour, so we had to look inside the depths of the archives as well. Uh-huh. And it's at least it's just like an archive as any other,
like any
just plain metal shelves and so
right.
But but the content is the most important thing, and there's so many interesting stuff in there.
Oh yeah,
which is really so many things still hidden inside there, mm-hmm. which the people who are working there didn't know by themselves. Lots of stuff which can be excavated in the future, mm-hmm. so to say. So yeah,
And there's also a limit on excavation because, you know, any researcher. It is true that you have to ask for what you want, which means if you don't know what you want, you cannot just go browsing through the archives. Correct.
Yes. Yes. It's one thing.
And then, like you said, you only have three manuscripts a day, which
means
there's
you can only
so
get
much
there
you can do.
in the morning.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
the
only
archive
a few
is closing
hours
on the midday, so it's a few hours. You have only three documents, and you can imagine by several kilometers of shelf space in there.
Yep.
You can imagine how long the work will take to get just a small amount of
at that
stuff.
Rate, yeah, there will be stuff discovered in centuries, you know. It's
probably it's only one archive of many. It's just the stuff which relates to the correspondences from the Vatican outward, mm-hmm. and inward. So yeah, there's many other things to hidden.
Oh yeah, just all the papal letters though.
Still, those are quite nicely published already. So get them quite easily. Mm-hmm. But still, it's just amazing to have an original lying there, which was written down in the time of Martin Luther, and that's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is definitely cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So there you go. There's just hundreds of podcast topics right there about random things.
Yeah, they are.
You know, there is the History of the Papacy podcast, but there could also be a History of the Vatican Archive podcast where every episode is talking about one manuscript and, you know, the significance. And
you could really do that. But,
oh, yeah. This manuscript started this crusade or this, you know. This is the one. This is the reply from Chinggis Khan or, you know, all these things. So, All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say to the English listeners of Secret Cabinet? Or I would say if you're listening to the history of alchemy or the history of Germany or Bohemian, go listen to the Secret Cabinet. It is even one of my favorite history podcasts. You know, Das Geheime Kabinett. I'm always excited when there's a new episode. So go listen to that. That has to be said. But is there anything else you wanted to say about anything?
You said everything already. It's great fun to produce that, and hope it's still fun to listen to for everyone who's listening to the great podcast which Travis is doing. And if you don't know any of them, just download them, listen to them. That's just amazing stuff which Travis is breaking down to you. And had never learned so much about alchemy, about Bohemian history, and even on German history.
There you go.
Just go there, listen to them, and it's great shows.
Likewise, yeah. Well, thank you very much for having a chat with me. It's been way too long, so we'll definitely do this again. And other than that, thank you to the listeners for listening and trying out this new Secret Cabinet podcast that we're making for you guys. And thanks.
And thank you from my side as well. Thank you for having me in your show. And thank you for all of you listeners for listening to our podcasts. We weren't here without you.
That's right.
Without your support. So thank you for that. And hope to hear you again.
Don't forget to rate The Secret Cabinet on iTunes.
Please. Yeah,
there should be. I have a feeling there should be more 5-star ratings there. That one is underappreciated. I do not understand. All the other podcasts are, I'm like, oh, that's great. But that one, that's a great show. So definitely, we appreciate that. That really helps out because it is a pretty new show. So that really helps out a lot. Until next time, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, too. See you soon.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.